Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To a fantastic fitness machine and a man who has a lot of strong opinions. One on Tyrod Taylor. Ross Tucker joins us, former NFLer, current broadcaster, current man about town. Find him all over Twitter. Ross Tucker, NFL. He joins us on the show. Ross, good morning.
Good morning. You got to reference my 4 weeks with the Browns. I mean, I cannot come on radio in Cleveland without referencing the glorious 4 weeks. I think I got to be the only guy that ever started three games for the Browns in 4 weeks and then got cut.
I would have, well, honestly, I would have rather had you for 4 weeks than Kenny Britt for about 13 weeks. So
we did have Charlie Fry make a start and then promptly get cut in the year they almost made the playoffs.
Yeah. It's a very good point, Anthony. I didn't even realize that. Okay, I got to start it off with this. Now, you put out a tweet yesterday. This is Ross Tucker, NFL on Twitter. It says, in hindsight, I like Tyrod more than most, but trading the number 65 pick in order to pay him $16 million when you're taking a QB at one anyway, when you could have had McCarron as a bridge QB for $5 million and no pick is rough for the Browns. Now, we'll ask Tyrod maybe about this coming up at 9, but Ross, your thoughts?
So I should start by saying I'm a pretty big Tyrod Taylor fan, right? So I like Tyrod. I get in arguments with Bills fans. I played up there for 3 years all the time about Tyrod. I mean, he's got the third best touchdown interception ratio of any quarterback over the last 3 years behind Brady and Brees. And the big critique about Tyrod is that, you know, he doesn't always pull the trigger, right? There's some throws that he should make that he chooses not to. I think that's a fair criticism. It's also the criticism that Alex Smith gets. But in my mind, he makes up for that by rushing for over 500 yards and five touchdowns a year. You know, so whatever you're losing by him not making certain throws, I think he makes up for it. And so I'm a big Tyrod Taylor fan. And as I mentioned at the start of that tweet, it is in hindsight. But when you look at it now, right, and you look at it through the prism, we all agree the Browns are going to take a quarterback at 1 or 4. I think it's 1. I think it's Darnold. But we all agree that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you start there, well, then that's really the only guy in my mind that really matters. And so the Browns essentially are paying $11 million more this year, with, by the way, nothing for the next year to keep him there or to be able to trade him or have his rights. They're paying $11 million more, and they gave up the 65th pick, which I think is very valuable, to have Tyrod over A.J. McCarron. And let's just say that either guy would start 8 games before they elect to get the number one pick out there. Look, there's a chance they start the whole season if they play really well. I don't really envision that being the case. Let's just say it's 8 games. Do you go 2-6 with A.J. McCarron and 4-4 with Tyrod Taylor? I mean, I don't know how many games it ends up being. I don't know what, but you have to ask yourself, is that worth it? I think Tyrod's a better player than A.J. McCarron. And so is winning a couple more games potentially before you hand the reins to the number one pick, is that worth $11 million and the 65th overall pick? Now, Browns fans are jumping down my throat, pointing out all the picks that the Browns still have and all the money that the Browns have. That's not a sound argument. That's not logical. Like, no business should ever be of the mindset, well, yeah, we just, it doesn't matter if we give up picks or money. We got lots of both. Like, that's not how you do things, right? It's still a valuable pick, and the money still matters.
Well, I understand that. I mean, 65 is 65. Now, I would bring up compensatory picks, but who knows what you get in there. So I can't bring that up. But this is a team, again, I don't need to give the record a whole bunch. We in Cleveland know, and it's basically tattooed on us. Over the last couple of years, they've been just very, very poor. And if he can just stave off and keep the fans maybe a little bit okay with the way he plays until you're ready to bring up that rookie, maybe that third-round pick might be worth it. Ross? He is a guy who's above 500 as a starter, and we haven't had that in a long time.
Well, I think that's how they looked at it. I think that they first of all, and this is the most important thing, when they made the trade for Tyrod, I don't think that they could have known for sure that A.J. McCarron would be the guy that didn't have a chair in the game of musical chairs and ultimately sign with the Bills for $5 million a year. You know, they didn't know that. So that's why I started the whole tweet with in hindsight, because they didn't know that was going to happen. I also think that there was something there with everything that happened with A.J. last season and the thought that he was Hugh Jackson's guy. I also think part of it might have been a PR move, like, let's get Tyrod. Let's get an established guy who's been starting for 3 years rather than more of an unknown commodity in A.J. McCarron and also a guy that's perceived to be just Hugh Jackson's guy. So there's other factors that certainly go into it. And I think with both the Landry and Tyrod Taylor moves, it's pretty clear that they want to try to win some games early, try to get some momentum, get the players on the team, get the fans feeling better about the organization and the direction that they're going in. And so I would just say that they paid a premium for that. They paid the 65th pick, and they paid $11 million more in order to accomplish those things. You are right that, you know, my guess is Tyrod will play well enough that after the year he would net you a compensatory pick in 2020 somehow, and I don't know how much money he'll get. And that also depends on how many guys the Browns sign next year. I would expect John Dorsey probably signed quite a few because they're still going to have a crazy amount of money. So, you know, that commensurate pick only counts if you actually get it, right? If he goes into the formula as that, but if you sign a bunch of free agents yourself, then you're not going to actually get that pick. So I think, look, I think you can make the argument either way. It really comes down to how much you value what I think is maybe a win or two or a couple more wins before you give the reins to the number one pick. I think the Browns obviously felt like that was really important, and the Bills, not so much. I mean, the Bills thought, nah, you know what, we'd rather have that pick and we'd rather save the money and, you know, see what AJ can do and then play the guy we take in the first round anyway.
Ross Tucker, NFL on Twitter, joined us on the hotline. When you look at this Todd Haley offense, not Hugh Jackson now, Todd Haley, and you throw in Tyrod Taylor and now the new running back, new wide receiver with Jarvis Landry, what do you make of this Cleveland Browns offense?
Well, I think it has a chance to be really good. I'm a little concerned about the left tackle spot, you know, whether it's Sean or Stevenson or whoever. We'll have to see if they're able to get it done. It's a shame that Joe couldn't play anymore. We'll see what they get out of Josh Gordon. I'm still hoping they get Terrell Pryor. I'm a little surprised that that's not a done deal given the success. I know they got Haley in there, but given the success that Terrell had a couple years ago, I love, you know, having Gordon as your speed guy, Terrell Pryor as your big body, and Jarvis Landry in the slot. Man, I think that would be awesome. But I still think they're going to have a very good offense. Like I said, I'm a believer in Tyrod Taylor. And think about how good the Browns' run blocking was last year. Now you add Hubbard to the mix, who's an excellent run blocker, and you have Tyrod, who's a much better runner than DeShone Kizer was. Really opens up a bunch of things. I think Carlos Hyde is an upgrade over Isaiah Crowell. So I think that gives them a huge chance to have success in the run game, keep the defense off the field a little bit more, and then convert first downs with Jarvis Landry on third down and Tyrod Taylor running the ball. I mean, Jarvis Landry's good for like 3 or 4 first downs a game, and Tyrod's legs are good for a couple first downs a game. So that's like 5 first downs right there a game that the Browns didn't get last year on third down situations.
Ross Tucker joining us on the show at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, NBCSN, SiriusXM, all over the place, RossTucker.com, also BallCannon.com, just basically everywhere. What quarterback would you take at 1 if you were the Browns?
Oh, no hesitation. It's Sam Darnold, and it's not really close.
Not close. Why?
Well, so I always put myself in the position that I'm like a GM, right? And, you know, when you take a quarterback, number one overall, you're basically putting your livelihood, your reputation, your everything in his hands. And I'm just not doing that with Baker Mayfield. I'm not putting my livelihood in that kid's hands. He's made too many poor decisions, and I just wouldn't sleep well at night. And, you know, people could say, well, he's funky and he's fiery. Yeah, no, not for me. I mean, look at the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Look at the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL. How many of them are like Baker Mayfield or do those type of things? I don't know. I mean, Rivers is obnoxious sometimes, I guess, but not like Mayfield. And Ben Roethlisberger did some dumb stuff off the field, immaturity. But the rest of the guys, Matt Ryan, Brady, Breeze, Russell Wilson, Cousins, I mean, they're all kind of very similar, and Mayfield is not one of them, does not act like them. And I think similar situation with Josh Rosen. Josh Allen, I can't think of a guy that had his completion percentage in college and then was able to complete significantly higher percentage in the NFL. So he's a big concern for me. Rosen has some of the Mayfield to him in terms of the maturity issues and the way he conducts himself. But my biggest issue with Rosen is just the concussion history. I mean, guys, you know, I went to Princeton, so I can say this, right? His mom went to Princeton. His dad went to Penn. His dad's a renowned spinal surgeon. The guy missed a game midway through the year with a concussion. Then he got another concussion at the end of the year and missed the last 4 weeks. You're going to take him number one overall and guarantee him $30 million when I would suggest to you there's a very real possibility that after he gets one concussion in the NFL, he says, nah, I'm all right. I got $30 million fully guaranteed. This is the only brain I have. I'm smart. My parents are both doctors or whatever. I'm not going to keep going ahead and playing pro football and get more concussions now that I have three in less than a year. I just don't think you can take that risk. I go Darnold. The concern with Darnold is primarily, in my mind, the fumbling. That's the big issue. And you have to decide whether I think it's a correctable issue. I think it is. I love his athleticism. I love the way he handles himself. I mean, even that Rose Bowl game against Penn State. Plus, the guy hasn't even started two full years. I think the best is still to come with Darnold.
All right, Ross Tucker, we appreciate you coming on. Don't forget, tell everybody to go to ballcannon.com. Ross, what makes Ball Cannon different from all the others out there?
Because there aren't any others out there. It's the only football launching machine there is anywhere. You're Cleveland. You're football crazy. Anybody between 5 to 15. If you have a kid between 5 to 15, seriously, you're doing yourself an injustice. If you don't at least go to ballcannon.com, check out the videos. See how cool it is and figure out that you can actually buy something to get your kids off their phone and off the video games. Ballcannon.com. The thing is awesome. Check out the videos, and I guarantee it's even better in person.
All right, Ross, we thank you very much for the time, friend. All the best.
See you guys.
See you, Ross Tucker joining us on the show. People not very happy with what he said about Tyrod Taylor. Anyway,
well, I don't understand.
You know, he gave an explanation of what
he said. He came on and said he's going to get you so many more first downs. He's going to get you into the end zone. He's going to improve your running game dramatically. And it's a big, vast improvement over what you had. I don't understand why that is some sort of hatred or whatever for what the Browns are doing or for
Tyrod
Taylor.
Well, it's because he was critical.
He is criticizing
and what,
the logic.
He's criticizing the move and what you paid for. Because you paid, it's the pick, it's the money, and I understand that what he's saying is that, well, you still, just because you have all these picks and all these money doesn't mean you act like a fool. I think, though, when you put yourself in a fan spot where you've won four games over the last 3 years, I don't think a fan gives a damn about money or picks or anything. That's why I got my head bitten off even when I even mentioned Sashi earlier today. Because fans want to win. And I'm saying, gosh, if you get it, I'm saying 4 to 6 wins. If you can get to 8, like you said, if everything goes right, they can get to 8 wins. I think if everything really, 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 really goes right, and these two top draft picks, or I should say the pick at 4 and 33, because number one's not going to get a great chance to do it in this season. But if those two picks really hit, you could win some games. I'm gonna be feeling a whole lot better. And I'm still, you even, oh, they got to win more than that. They have to win more than that. How do you go from 0-16 to something better?
Listen, that's a big jump. You're going from historically bad to trying to get past bad.
It's something everybody should hope and dream for, but I don't think it's realistic. But I do think that if Tyrod Taylor was on this team last year, they win 4 games. So if he's on this team this year, with Jarvis Landry, with a second-year David Njoku, where he can cover up for some of his foibles a little bit, with other players on this football team as well defensively, with draft picks, they should be better than 4 wins from last year. They could be somewhere in the neighborhood to 6 to 8 wins.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.